The podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com. And distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular audio podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, normalaudiostash.com. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. Welcome back to the Audio Stash today. It is Monday, May 21st. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal to end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit norml.org to get involved today. We have a great set of programs for you this week. We'll speak with Dominic Holden from Washington State Normal tomorrow on the program about Washington State's amendment to their medical marijuana program. On Wednesday of this week, we'll have a special tribute to Dr. Todd Mikuria, who passed away today. We'll have breaking news about that in just a moment. On Thursday of this week, we'll speak with presidential hopeful and Congressman Ron Paul of Texas in his second appearance right here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash in an exclusive interview. And on Friday of this week, we'll speak with comedian Rob Cantrell, who had his own run-in with marijuana prohibition policy in New York City recently. Rob has some marijuana-centered comedy shows happening in New York, so we'll speak with him about his experiences in New York and his upcoming shows, all here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash this week. Today on the program, I got a chance to head out to Toms River, New Jersey this week to catch up with Jim Miller. Jim is staging a protest this week, today and tomorrow. He's walking his late wife Cheryl's wheelchair across the entire width of New Jersey. Tomorrow he'll end up in front of the State House in Trenton for a rally at 11 a.m. We'll have some audio from the march later on today, but first, we have breaking news today from Normal. Breaking news today from the Normal Foundation in Washington, D.C. Dr. Todd Mikuria, one of the world's foremost authorities on the therapeutic use of cannabis, passed away this Sunday. He was 73 years old. Dr. Mikuria had over 40 years' experience studying the medical utility of marijuana. In the mid to late 1960s, he began publishing some of the first modern scientific papers regarding cannabis's medicinal utility and collecting dozens of historical texts that trace the drug's therapeutic use in Western cultures in the decades prior to its prohibition. Much of this work he published in his 1973 book, Marijuana, Medical Papers, 1839 to 1972. Todd is perhaps best known as a pioneering practitioner of cannabis medicine, having treated over 9,000 patients under California's medical cannabis law, Proposition 215. In his practice, Dr. Mikuria recorded over 200 different ICD-9 indications for which cannabis shows medical benefits. Todd served as the director of non-classified marijuana research for the National Institute of Mental Health Center for Narcotics and Drug Abuse Studies, where he became aware of library material documenting the medicinal value of cannabis. Todd was active in the campaign for California's 1972 marijuana initiative, Prop 19, and was a longtime board member of California Normal. Dr. Micaria was co-author of California's Proposition 215 and is credited with drafting the language that authorizes physicians to recommend cannabis for, quote, any other illness for which marijuana provides relief, close quote, a clause which remains unique to California's medical marijuana law. After the law's passage in 1996, Dr. Micaria was one of the most outspoken and prolific recommenders of medicinal cannabis, a stance that made him a frequent target of both the California Medical Board and the federal government. Though he'd recently been in ill health, Dr. Micaria continued to work diligently on the medical cannabis issue, founding the California Cannabis Research Medical Group and frequently writing essays in O'Shaughnessy's Journal. His pioneering and consistent contributions to the medical marijuana movement cannot be overstated and will certainly not be forgotten. Thanks to Dale Gerringer and Normal Senior Policy Analyst Paul Armentano for helping write the breaking news today. We'll have more information on the life of Dr. Todd Micaria on Wednesday's edition of the Audio Stash. It was a picturesque day at the Jersey Shore, May 20th, as I stood on a bridge connecting the mainland to the barrier islands a few miles off the coast. Fishing boats slowly slipped under the bridge, heading out for a sunny Sunday of angling around Seaside Heights, as sailboats elegantly leaned into the wind on a shimmering bay. The wind filling their sails was brisk and steady, and it kept the air cool for a unique and long march, taking place to raise awareness for New Jersey's medical marijuana bill, SB 88. Jim Miller, a member of the Coalition for Medical Marijuana of New Jersey, pushed his wife Cheryl's wheelchair, leading a group of about 25 marchers on a narrow sidewalk across the bridge. It was the beginning of a three-day-long trek, pushing the wheelchair across the width of the state of New Jersey, from Seaside Heights to Trenton. 5 years ago, Cheryl was in the wheelchair, stricken with chronic pain, but tirelessly leading a movement of New Jersey citizens who advocate for legal access to medical marijuana for patients who suffered like she did. Cheryl met with dozens of New Jersey elected officials, lobbying for state legislation that would allow medical access. Cheryl also staged media attention-getting protests in Trenton and Washington, D.C. while lobbying Congress people. In 2003, Cheryl passed away. But just before, she asked her husband, Jim, to carry on the fight and to do so in the style that she inspired with marches like this one.
And as far as the carrying on for Cheryl, literally doing that because of a promise I made her 4 days before she died. I told her I was tired and we knew her time had come. Her passing was imminent and we knew it wouldn't take long. And the last discussion we had, I told her that I couldn't carry on anymore. I was tired. And the first time ever that I told her I can't do something, that she said, but you have to. She should have said, oh, honey, I understand. And that's what I expected. But she looked me right in the face and said, you have to. And I asked her why. And she said, don't you wish we'd known sooner? And her message was clear. There are people that still need to know. They've heard it. They don't believe it. This reinforces it. It's about reaching patients. So I am literally carrying on for her. And I told her I would do whatever I thought it is she might take part in. And having already been over the bridge once herself, I was pretty sure she would if she were here.
New Jersey's Senate Bill 88 was hotly debated in committee in 2006. With TV personality Montel Williams' appearance for testimony attracting a near-media frenzy for the average Trenton politics.
The dais said Montel Williams. Montel.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator, and members of the committee. And thanks for hearing us for a minute. This is a tough one for me. And just because of what
the nurse just said. I'm not only the poster child for MS now, around the world. I'm the poster child for POT. I spent 22 years in this military. Not military. I was in the Marine Corps when I graduated from high school. I went to the United States Naval Academy and graduated with a degree in engineering and a minor in international security affairs. I went to the United States Defense Language Institute where I studied Russian. I went to the National Cryptologic School where I studied cryptology. I then served for 9 years as a special duty intelligence officer in some of the worst places in this world, supporting and defending this Constitution. What angers me so much is that now all people want to consider me as the dope head. And all I'm trying to do is get up in the morning and go to work. Pain-free. You can have people argue here and talk all this garbage about what the bad effects of marijuana is. Let's talk about this for a second, because I don't think I watched some of you, and please forgive me, I'm not judging, but when the doctor was speaking, since 1978, everybody in this room needs to hear this, since 1978, the United States government has been dispensing marijuana every 17th of the month in a canister to originally 25 members of our society. Now it's down to 6 because they're dying off. And what they would hope is that they just die so they don't have to continue to do this. But this 17th of this month, a canister of 50 marijuana cigarettes will go out from the University of Mississippi with a USDA stamp on it from the federal government to 6 people. I know them. One of them in particular, Irv, every now and then when I see him in Florida, will share his medication with me, the medication that our government has given to him. The same government that off the side of their mouth will say, is a drug that's not efficacious. I thought we were a government that does no harm. If we do no harm, then we would not provide drugs to someone that we claim was hurting them because we claim it works. So that's why our federal government is growing it, has studied it since 1978 at the University of Mississippi. How egregious is the offense that we're wasting all this money and still lying to the American public? I'm not asking for a lot, and I don't think the people here in New Jersey are asking for a lot. They're just asking to get the same thing and have the same relief that our federal government claims that 6 U.S. citizens have the right to and the rest of us don't have the right to. How can you discriminate against me? My 12-year-old knows that I have pot in my closet. My 12-year-old has had discussions in his school about his father's medication. He has no intentions of using what I have. He knows that his dad needs it to get up to go play with him. He knows his dad needs it to go to sleep. There'll be a lot of arguments, contrary, about how crazy we are. I'm not crazy. I'm just a taxpayer trying to say that if our government thinks it's good enough for 6 people, then damn it, it should be good enough for me. Thank you.
The bill itself is carefully crafted and draws upon the well-honed experience of many states who have allowed medical marijuana access and the sustained integrity of the doctor-patient relationship. SB 88 in New Jersey would include all of the best of recent history in functioning state-run medical marijuana programs, including ID cards, a patient registry, strict guidelines on amounts, and all of it administered by the State Department of Health and Human Services. The bill is sponsored by Assemblyman Reed Gascoria, Assemblyman Michael Patrick Carroll, and Assemblywoman Joan M. Voss. And the bill does have bipartisan support backing it in a state known for bitter Republican versus Democratic political combat. So, what's brought this kind of support around?
I have a sense that anybody that Cheryl met that is moving forward with this issue is definitely doing that because they met Cheryl. Her honesty was obvious even at a distance, and there was something about her that she wasn't angry, that she was doing this for her love of other patients. She was doing it in spite of the fact she knew it was too late for her. She could go to California. She chose to stay here. When people got a hold of that, they realized how it was, and it was put into words best by Congressman Rob Andrews. Having voted against medical marijuana in 1998 on House Resolution 117, having voted that it's dangerous and addictive and should not be used by any state, He did grant us an appointment, and we went to his Hamilton office. I sent him literature. We walked in, ready for an argument. He listened for a minute, and he was looking at Cheryl the whole time, and he said, "Jim, I got to stop you right there. I'm going to co-sponsor Barney Frank's bill, and I want to tell you why. I like to talk somebody face-to-face, and I ask myself, what do they have to gain? And I'm looking right here at you, Cheryl. You have nothing to gain but your health and the health of other people like you. And that's obvious to me, and I'm going to do that." And that he would say that to Cheryl was so nice to let her know that she should keep on doing what she's doing because it does work.
Cheryl certainly did not give up. She and Jim were lobbying on Capitol Hill in 1998. When they brought some of Cheryl's medicine through on their way to California Congressman Jim Rogan's office. Accompanied by a cadre of media and television cameras, Jim helped Cheryl eat some marijuana in front of the congressman's office and in front of the cameras. They were promptly arrested by Capitol Police. Having a woman like Cheryl stricken with severe MS, muscle spasticity, and chronic pain in a wheelchair, leading these protests and getting arrested not only brought attention to the subject of medical marijuana, but it made Jim and Cheryl very high-profile figures in New Jersey. But getting arrested for using or possessing even growing medical marijuana is not an arrestable offense everywhere. Most notably in some states that have the most progressive approaches to medical marijuana, like California, Washington, and Oregon. The real secret to medical marijuana in America right now is not the controversy that may surround it in mainstream media and politics. The real secret is that it's working. Tens of thousands of Americans do find relief legally, and in many cases protected by their state or city from arrest. And for many ill patients, sometimes the only way to obtain the medicine they need is to move to one of these more progressive areas. But for Cheryl Miller of New Jersey, moving was not an option.
Did give Cheryl that choice in 98 when the dust had settled a little, and when she ate marijuana in Jim Rogan's office, she became somewhat of a hero to a lot of people in California. And when they found out that we might want to be moving out there, there were many people that offered to help take care of Cheryl. She knew she had people that loved her out there that she'd never met. And I said, "I could take better care of you out there." She said, "But who'd be here in New Jersey?" And in 1998, the honest answer was, "Nobody, it's just you and me." She said, "So who's going to tell people in New Jersey?" I said, "Maybe nobody will." She said, "No, we have to stay here." She adopted New Jersey for her own. She was from Oklahoma, and she adopted this as her home state so that people in New Jersey could have this right. I just wish she'd seen the bill introduced. That she never did has always been kind of a sore point. And I tell people that, and that's what one of my signs says. It's too late for Cheryl. It's not too late for others.
New Jersey is a key state for the region, and Jim Miller pointed out the importance of the Garden State having medical access.
Well, I'd say, although in the Northeast you have Maine and Vermont and Rhode Island, some of the New England states working on this, it still leaves out the Northeast corridor beyond Washington, D.C., and there we've got the most populous region in the country per square mile. And that if New Jersey goes, that New York's going to go, and Pennsylvania's going to take up the issue. New Jersey's closest. Right now it's the best chance, Democratic across the board. Governor said he'd sign it. It's a no-brainer. This is where the battle should be fought by everybody right now.
Cheryl and Jim had meetings with then-Governor McGreevy and also with current Governor John Corzine, who has pledged to sign any medical marijuana bill that comes across his desk. And although there is support from a bipartisan group of legislators, the bill remains in committee.
Well, it's the fact that they know better because there are bills introduced validating the fact that these very sick and dying people exist and need help. That the bills would be written and be stalling in committee. They're not a car running out of gas. There's not enough push to get them to do what needs to be done. And when the head of the Health Committee's office tells me what we need to do is get people to push them to get it done, tells me the legislators need to know people are watching, you know, and it shouldn't be up to me to push them. They should be able to do it without our help now. This bill's been in the legislature for a year and a half. It should not be up to sick people and advocates anymore.
Cheryl Miller's brave and sometimes brazen protests did serve to encourage other patients around the state suffering from serious pain and serious medical conditions to speak up and put their voices in on the issue of medical marijuana in the state.
Today is my friend right here next to us, Mike, is a very serious burn victim. He has pain like I've about never seen anybody have. And that he would come out today to make a point where he's a very private person, I appreciate that. For Mike to come out and say, this is my pain, I need to be able to deal with it in the best way possible, and this just might be it, I think is very important. And I would say that the governor, who now knows a little bit about pain in New Jersey, should realize through Mike's experience how lucky he is that he knew he'd get better. All he had to do was tough it out. Mike's going to have this pain till the day he dies. And at every opportunity, I will call on the governor to demand this bill be brought before his desk now so it can be signed this year. He should understand Mike's pain a little better now, and we'll see if he's had an epiphany or not.
Getting a governor's support can sometimes be a positive influence on getting a bill passed. But in some states, medical marijuana has such broad support, the governor really has little to say, as in Vermont. There, the governor let medical marijuana legislation pass without his signature, and he may do it again. But the legislature in Vermont has passed their medical marijuana bill recently with enough votes to override a veto anyway. But in New Mexico, Governor Bill Richardson, who declared his official presidential campaign today, was able to cut through the roundhouse bureaucracy in his state and get the Lynn and Aaron Compassionate Use Act put into law. New Mexico will begin offering medical marijuana grown by nonprofits and distributed by the state to registered patients this winter. So having a governor's support in New Jersey could be key.
Well, Governor Corzine has met Cheryl and talked about this with her, so already he's under her influence. It affected him already. However, he answered the question about medical marijuana due to a question I asked him on 101.5 with Doug Forrester, a debate of sorts. So I simply asked if he would sign the bill if it got to his desk. He begrudgingly said yes. He hemmed and hawed at first, and then he had to answer the question. He said he would sign it. However, after the hearings in Trenton, I went to his office and talked to his staff and said we'd like him to make a voluntary statement rather than just answer it when somebody asks a question like me. And his office said he can't do that. And I said, obviously, he won't do it. He sure could. So now we'd like to know if he's changed his mind, if it means a little more to him now that he understands what some really hurt people are going through. And I have hopes, actually. I'll go with being optimistic that I think he might be the one that needs to move this bill. Without the governor, it's not going to move. He doesn't demand it. And without patients coming out like Mike saying, you know what, I really do hurt and I need help and my family doesn't want to see me suffer anymore, the governor should understand how much his family appreciated he was being well taken care of. Don't think that Mike's family doesn't hurt when he can't sleep because he's crying out in pain at night. That's never going to get better. Mike needs his help, and a lot of other people do, and it's time for him to step up.
The patient Jim mentioned, Mike, was standing there looking on. He stood about 6'2", leaning heavily on a cane.
My name's Michael Kessler. I'm here to support Jim Miller. He's going to run for senator to legalize marijuana and medical marijuana in New Jersey. And I don't smoke it, but I heard that it helps, and I would have to take less pain medicine. I take Oxycontins and Percocets, and it's bad for my health and my liver. And marijuana has never killed anybody in history. In history, let me say that again. And you cannot OD from it. Why it is illegal, I have no idea. It has to be political. If I have 90% third-degree burns, that, if I could take half my medicine or none at all and smoke marijuana, I would like to do that.
I asked Mike how he received his burns, which were easily and painfully visible on his arms.
I was riding on my motorcycle, and he was in a pickup truck driving illegally with no driver's license. And I broadsided his pickup truck when he ran a stop sign in front of me. On running into his truck, my gas cap came off and 4.5 gallons of gas went all over me and blew up. And I got 90% third degree burns from it. I call it 10th degree burns because it's down to nothing.
Mike was a young man when the burns occurred.
So I was 22 years old. I just got out of the Army after 3 years.
And though the burns are 20 years old, the pain continues.
Oh, it hurts very much. I have a lot of pain, and I'd really like to stop taking this pain medicine and save our state. The state pays over $700 for my pain medicine. If I could smoke marijuana and grow my own 6 plants for free, just think.
Out on the side of Route 37 West in Toms River, New Jersey, the group of marchers came down the long bridge and carried their signs high. A lot of motorists were honking their support for the group, and I saw a few stop to ask questions about the march and then voice their hearty support for medical marijuana.
Now, what we need to do is translate those honking horns into phone calls. And I don't think that's going to be all that hard to do now as it has been in the past. There is a lot of support. To be able to read the paper the next day and see that what we really need is for people to get in touch so we can tell them how to support and what to do, we're going to see if that's taken the next step.
Jim Miller himself has taken the next big step in the world of activism as well, and is now running in the 10th District of New Jersey as a Libertarian candidate. Fellow New Jersey Libertarian candidates and the head of the Libertarian Party of New Jersey were there to lend their support as well, one of them carrying the American flag that led the march.
My name is Lou Jasikoff. I'm the chair for the Libertarian Party. We're here not only to support Jim Miller, who is our state Senate candidate, but also to give New Jersey voters a real opportunity and a choice this coming November. We'll be walking across the state with a number of our candidates. First of all, the whole idea of medical marijuana just makes sense. I mean, any idea that somebody has to go to jail for their medicine is absolutely absurd. And we're going to call on the legislature to start making some reasonable decisions. And if they can't, and if they neither have the heart nor the courage to pass this legislation, we have those candidates that do. And I think that's real important.
Lou pointed out some fellow New Jersey libertarians running for office and showing their support for medical marijuana.
My name is Jason Schur. I'm running in the 14th District. The reason I'm out here today is basically the travesty that people that are sick cannot actually get the medicine that will help them. Now, for whatever political demagoguing that's going on in terms of marijuana, the fact that these are people that are hurting, and this is something we can do. It doesn't cost a lot of money. And I don't think there's a special interest behind it. And that's typically what's happening in New Jersey politics. Unless somebody has some way of capitalizing and making a large amount of money, something is not going to get passed in this state. And as a libertarian, we basically have the principle that just let us live our lives the way we want to and stay out of our business. And when we have to come together to make certain decisions, that's what we're going to do. But we're going to do it in a reasonable fashion without having anybody in our back pocket. And that's one thing we could say as a group. We behold to no one out here in the political spectrum. We're not taking any campaign financing from big builders or some drug company or anything else like that. We're just trying to do what's best for everybody. A lot of people get elected, and they have their own little axe to grind. Ours basically is just freedom, and a lot of people have a hard time digesting that. The big parties, though, Republicans and Democrats, they don't want to have a third voice out there. They want the world to think that it's just vanilla and chocolate. Well, maybe we should try strawberry, because that might be what New Jersey needs.
I also asked Jason how he felt about medical marijuana in New Jersey.
Well, you know, I think if marijuana was something that you grew in a lab and it cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to produce, well, it'd be out there on the street right now. But the fact that somebody can actually grow in their backyard a medicine that would help them, that doesn't make any. That doesn't make companies money. I mean, who knows if aspirin would pass nowadays? If we went back in time.
Also in attendance to the march and walking along with Jim in the salty sea air was Ken Wolski, the co-founder of the Coalition for Medical Marijuana of New Jersey. Ken worked in healthcare and public health for 30 years, and he has helped keep the effort and visibility of New Jersey's medical marijuana legislation moving forward. I caught up with Ken at a local Toms River restaurant where the marchers had stopped for lunch.
Well, we've been here with the Libertarian Party for the most part today, and they've been very supportive, found a wonderful support, really, among this party. They invited us out to speak at their national convention, well, their statewide convention, rather, in Atlantic City a couple of months ago, and that's they were very impressed with what we had to say. Both Jim Miller and myself spoke at their convention, and it's been a good relationship ever since, I think. So, you know, we've also been cultivating relationships with various other groups in New Jersey as well. You know, the Green Party and the Unitarians, Mensa has been very active with us, the New Jersey Humanist Society. So, you know, we have a lot of support in New Jersey. Actually, you know, we have support of 86% of the population here for medical marijuana. It's just that we can't really move the bill out of the health in the assembly and the Senate health committees right now, is where the holdup is, Chris.
As we're listening to this piece today on Monday, March 21st, Jim Miller continues to push his late wife Cheryl's wheelchair across the Garden State. The chair has a large sign on top and photographs of Cheryl placed in its seat. Local supporters are also following Jim in a vehicle to keep him safe on the journey. He'll continue down Route 37, then get on Route 9, one of the main arteries in New Jersey, then a long stretch of Route 33, arriving in front of the New Jersey State House Tuesday, May 22nd at 11 a.m. When he arrives, there will be speeches and presentations at the State House with a rally environment, and likely some media there as well. But today, Monday, Jim continues to walk, guided by the living memory and tenacious activism of Cheryl.
We'll see if the blisters come first on the feet from the walk or on the hands from holding on to the wheelchair. It's a toss-up, you know. I'm betting on the hands myself, you know. We'll see.
More information about Cheryl Miller and Jim Miller is available at CherylHart.org. We have links to it, along with photos of the march on Sunday, on our website at normalaudiostash.com. I'm Chris Goldstein with Normal's Daily Audio Stash, on location in Toms River, New Jersey. To Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow.
Of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers, and nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana, and over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and coworkers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. My name is Keith Strop, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.